Hi, I'm Elodie Reed, digital producer for Vermont Public Radio. This podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. The 2021 legislative session is now in its home stretch as lawmakers tackle a number of key issues in these final weeks. One of the biggest outstanding issues is a disagreement between legislative leaders and Governor Phil Scott over the use of millions of dollars of federal stimulus money. The governor is insisting that none of this money be used for the ongoing programs of state government. He argues this is an irresponsible use of these funds.
So there's no reason to play the shell game. Think of it as taking a loan out. You wouldn't use loan money to fulfill ongoing budgetary concerns. And this is the way I look at this.
So what is this dispute all about, and what's the fate of other important bills in the coming weeks? These are some of the questions we have for our guest today. With us, House Speaker Jill Krowinski and Senate President Pro Tem Becca Ballant. I'd like to welcome both of you back to the program. We appreciate you being available today.
It's great to be here, Bob. Good afternoon.
Well, I want to talk to both of you about the budget because in a usual year, budgetary issues can be very confusing, especially when you're discussing a general fund budget that exceeds several billion dollars. But this year, with the arrival of more than $1 billion from the federal government in its two stimulus packages, it's really hard for most people to follow how this money is being allocated. So I'm hoping today we can shed some light on this issue. Now, the governor says the legislature is using some of this one-time money for programs that represent ongoing operations of state government. And as we just heard, he says this is unsustainable and irresponsible. Speaker Krowinski, what about the governor's argument? How do you reply and respond to his concerns?
Thanks, Bob. Now, that's a great question. And I think it's really important for us to start off by acknowledging the incredible investment Vermont has gotten thanks to the amazing work of our federal delegation. I think Senator Leahy and Sanders and Congressman Welch has really pulled through for us. And so this is a great problem to be having, is talking about how we can use this incredible investment to make sure that we're creating a recovery plan that leaves no Vermonter behind. And I think, you know, what we are hearing from the governor and what we are working on, I think that we're hearing some strong messages, but I actually think that we are not all that far off from what our values and our goals are with this budget. I think it's really important that we are investing and people and making sure that we're doing that in a really smart and strategic way. The federal funds do not need to be used all in one year. So like unlike last year when we were really rushing to meet some deadlines, we have flexibility with this, with these funds. And so we are looking at investments that, you know, really we care about around broadband, childcare, housing, climate, jobs, workforce. These are all things that we've been hearing about. And I know that the governor shares some of those same values. So I think where we are right now is let's sit around the table, let's roll up our sleeves and get to work and find a compromise.
Well, Speaker Krowinski, I get the impression from what the governor has said that he's unhappy with your approach of saying, well, let's figure out how to spend some of this money this year, and then let's come back next year and look at how that money might be spent. It sounds like he wants a more definite roadmap before you adjourn this month. Is that going to happen?
Well, I think that there's a lot of conversations that still need to be had around the table around how we find a compromise and a path moving forward. Like I said, I think what we're hearing here is that we want to make sure that we create those top tier goals that I think we all share around childcare and broadband and housing, and really work together to find a long-term plan for how we invest these funds. We are in a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity here and have a chance to build back stronger. And so, like I said, I think we share some of the same priorities and goals here, and it's just talking through what money we are using for what goal and policies.
Senator Ballant, could you help our listeners understand what this dispute is all about?
I would be happy to, Bob. Thank you for the question. I want to start by saying something that's obvious, perhaps, but that we forget, which is that none of us have ever been through anything like this before. We've never been through a global pandemic. We've never been through this kind of health emergency or economic emergency. So the governor and both the leaders of our chambers here in the legislature, we are all doing this for the first time. And so what we have to do in these moments is come back to leading with our values. And so a budget, yes, it is about how we spend money, but really it's a reflection of values. And so as the speaker said, a lot of overlap on climate, broadband, housing, childcare. We do agree broadly. We have some disagreements. And so one of the main things I want listeners to understand is that we are still getting guidance from the federal administration as to how we can spend this money. And so I take issue with the governor claiming that what we're doing is a shell game. This is not a game for any of us. We are here because we represent our communities and our constituents. And what we understand is the plan that was passed by the federal government, the American Rescue Plan, was supposed to be structured around helping the people of Vermont. It was about human capital and those investments. And so we know this because of the language in the bill. We know of it because of the guidance. So it's clear that where we staked out our values and making sure that we are declaring our commitment to people through the kinds of investments that we're making, that was vindicated somewhat earlier this week when we got initial guidance from the federal government that said the investments that the governor would like to make right now in housing may actually not be permissible. And so I want to just remind everybody, we have time. This is not a moment of decision-making. This is going to be lots of moments of decision-making over the next months and years. And we want to make sure that we get it right. So to reiterate, we have got to go carefully and make sure we're investing not just in bricks and mortar, which I know has been an important goal of the governor's, and we share that in some instances, but we also want to invest in people because we believe that's what the American Rescue Plan was calling for.
Senator Ballin, I'm wondering if broadband expansion is an example of where there's a little bit of tension between the legislature and the administration. I think the House and the Senate this week are considering or have considered a bill that would allocate around $150 million for broadband expansion. The governor looked at that and said, hey, you know, I originally wanted $250 million, not $150. Where's the rest of the money? Is that an example of where that tension is?
Well, I think you're right. There is a tension there, but I also think it's a fundamental misunderstanding because what we're saying is additional monies can and will be appropriated as it becomes clear what investments are needed. We know that on broadband, I've often said this is like the white whale of Vermont politics. Many governors, many legislatures have tried to tackle this issue. It's complicated. We need a lot of money, but we also need best thinking about it. We have proposed a plan to really invest in communities through our CUDs, which were our communication union districts, and really empowering local decision-making around this to get to last mile connectivity. There may be a point at which we have, you know, fully funded the CUDs. They've done the work that they can do with the conditions on the ground, and there may need to be, you know, additional investments in other streams. I think it is a little bit disingenuous to claim that because we haven't in this budget, when we have 3.5 years to spend this money, when we have not, you know, directly allocated the money to a particular plan, I think it's short-sighted because we don't know after the CUDs do their plans, where are we going to have to invest additional money? So the door is open to more investments on broadband. We want to get everybody connected. Again, we share the end goal. And I think we have to come together and really tone down a little bit of the rhetoric about the, you know, the speed with which we're supposed to be spending this money. We have time to figure this out. And I think Vermonters want us to do that.
Today in the program, we have the leaders of the legislature on with us, House Speaker Jill Krawinski and Senate President Pro Tem Becca Ballant. Your thoughts, 1-800-639-2211. Let's start with Elaine, who's calling from Worcester. Hi, Elaine. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
My question is, what is Vermont doing right now to expand broadband internet connection for our most rural, remote, and marginalized communities?
Either one of you want to try that one?
So it's so hard because we're on the same line.
I know,
so
we're not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I should have been. Oh, technology gets us again. Oh, I love it. Speaker Krawinski, talk to us about broadband and what you hope to achieve in this bill this year.
Absolutely. And thanks, Elaine, for the question. You know, we knew that we have been working for years on increasing access to broadband before the pandemic hit. And now the pandemic has only made it more clear the challenges around access to broadband brings. I mean, the digital divide is real, and it's only widened since the start, you know, since the start of the COVID pandemic. After a year of remote schooling and online medical appointments and family Zoom calls, the need for high-speed internet for all Vermonters is just even more clear to us. And I think our broadband bill puts in critical coordination and financial tools in place to advance our state goal of achieving universal access to reliable, high-quality, and affordable broadband.
And Speaker Krawinski, you know, some people are wondering, it's sort of the people at the end of the road that don't have access to broadband services because it's just not economical or profitable for private corporations to go down there. They want to have their lines in much more populated areas. Is this bill going to address that concern?
It addressed some of those concerns. And also right now, the Public Service Department has programs in place for build out and supporting Vermonters with wireless solutions in rural areas. And we're also expecting potential additional money in the next broadband package coming from Washington as well. I don't want to forget that point because there is another infrastructure bill and broadband piece that is being considered in Washington that could help us additionally when it comes to broadband in Vermont.
You know, Speaker Krawinski, I wanted to ask you about that, and also Senator Ballant, that you've got the federal infrastructure bill being considered in Washington. It could pass in June or July. Do you have a sense, Speaker Krawinski, that you may have to come back in the fall in order to deal with those appropriations in a timely way?
Yeah, so the pro tem and I have been talking a lot about what our governing looks like when we adjourn and when we come back in January. And we are working closely and monitoring what is happening in Washington to see if it would require us or it would be beneficial for us to come back in October to see if there's anything that we need to respond to or address immediately. So that option is on the table for October.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to John in Stratford. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bob. Speaker Pro Tem, this obviously has been a difficult year, and it's your first year, and thank you for your service. That said, the biggest problem facing state government is our pension crisis, and our Democrats treasurer, Beth Pierce, came up with a plan. The difference between a politician and a statesperson is being able to convince people to make needed sacrifices. Now, I get a state pension myself, but I've also done budgets myself, and this is unsustainable. And while the blame is mostly on people in the past, I'm afraid you've added to it by kicking the can down another year, because the reality is at some point we're going to have to make, all of us are going to have to make some sacrifices. And now, instead of finding a solution, you just added another year to the problem, which has made it worse. And it's a little disappointing, and I hope you realize this is something that has to be addressed, and it will require some sacrifices from all of us. Thank you.
Okay, John, thank you very much for your question. Senator Ballot, waiting another year has some costs involved in doing that, but do you think a task force in the next 6 to 8 months is going to be able to come up with a solution that eluded lawmakers this year?
I really appreciate the question from John, because I know what he is giving voice to is something I've heard from a lot of Vermonters over the last 6 months, both people who hold a public pension, whether it be through the Vermont State Employees Union or whether it is, like myself, a former teacher holding a teacher's pension. And so, although I understand the concern about, you know, this political phrase of kicking the can down the road, I don't fundamentally believe that's what we're doing. And I'll tell you why. These issues around pensions, around how people will be taken care of, you know, in retirement, in their old age, go to the fundamental heart of why this has been so difficult for so many administrations to take care of. And so just this morning on the floor of the Senate, we actually appointed our conferees, which will sit down with the House conferees to finalize the pensions bill and put systems in place for having really hard, substantive conversations, as you said, to make things sustainable long term. And I think it would be almost malfeasance to push something through at a time when we're not able to sit down face to face on a really complicated issue, when we as legislators are not, we're not actuaries. We need to have the right people in the room with us to help us figure this out. And although I know there is concern that we're not actually going to make progress on this, it's a commitment that I've made. It's a commitment the speaker has made. And though I share your concern, I believe we will get there, because we have to get there. Because if we don't figure this out, we're all going to be paying for it.
Bob, can I jump in?
Absolutely.
Thanks. I completely agree with what the pro tem just said. And I think it's really important for Vermonters to know that, in addition to the task force that's going to be diving into the details and working on this problem that we need to solve over the summer and the fall, is that there's also in the bill restructuring the governance set up and how we make decisions about our investments. And I think that that is something that is happening now in this bill that does contribute to solving part of the problem. And it's bringing more experience to the board that makes its decisions, more transparency and more independence. So I think that's a really key part of the bill that we're doing. And then also, you know, we are putting a down payment on saving our pension system with $150 million that we have put aside to help implement or be part of some of the solutions that this task force comes up with. $150 million is a big investment. And so I really hope that we can have the governor's support in having these funds available to help us solve our unfunded pension liabilities and this pension challenge that we need to figure out.
Let's talk to Scott in Stowe. Hey, Scott, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking my question, Bob. Here in Lamoille County, our local state college, Northern Vermont University, is such a critical part of our community. And so I'd love to hear from the speaker and the pro tem about the work the legislature is doing to ensure that our state colleges can continue their important mission. Thanks so much.
Speaker Krawinski, why don't we start with you? There's a pretty good chunk of money in the budget, if I remember correctly, to kind of be a bridge for the state colleges, isn't there?
Yes, I have to say that ensuring the long-term success of our Vermont State College system is so critical to our rural communities across Vermont. And that was one of the big challenges that we tackled with our budget and looking at what can we do to ensure that the college can continue to grow and to thrive. And so we have, and I think that we're in the budget process with reconciling the differences between the House and the Senate. But I know on the House side, we had $83 million for higher education, for scholarships and workforce development. And this package, it nearly doubled our year-over-year investment in our state college system. And we also, in addition to providing money to stabilize and support the restructuring of the state college system, we made some really important and critical investment in workforce development through scholarships, through internship scholarships, and even free tuition for some critical programs for Vermonters. So I'm really excited about the work we've done and our investment to ensure that we have a strong public higher education system in Vermont.
And Senator Ballot, is some kind of consolidation of the state college system inevitable going forward?
Well, it all depends what you mean by consolidation. We have made a commitment to having a footprint of some kind within each of these communities. We know how important it is to have an anchor for families and communities. And so I think we have to really design a system for what the needs are of young people 5, 10 years out and not looking 20 years ago. I think there is a real opportunity here to re-envision Vermont State Colleges. And I was reading something yesterday that I thought you might find interesting, which is that, you know, the Kaiser Family Foundation has done a report on the psychological impact of the pandemic. One of the things that came out of that report is that over half of 18 to 24-year-olds are reporting anxiety and feelings of depression right now. We know that this pandemic has been incredibly hard on young adults, on college-age kids. And I think it's made all the more so when you are perhaps living in a rural community and feeling more concerned about your future. And we really see the Vermont State College system not just as an anchor for communities, but also for individuals and families. And we have right now, as I think you know from covering the State House, we've been talking about workforce development for a really long time. And that means a lot of things to people, but we're looking at what role does the Vermont State Colleges play going forward on workforce upskilling, on certifications, on education that meets the needs of Vermonters who are seeking to stay in Vermont and work in Vermont. And so it is an incredible resource that we have, and we feel like we have to invest in it.
Let's talk to Ellen in Middlebury. Hi, Ellen. Welcome to the program.
Hi, can you hear me?
We sure can.
Great. Okay. Well, my question is, we did learn this past week that the federal rules very much favor healthcare funding, provided that it's related, you know, even indirectly to the pandemic, such as preparing and strengthening systems to be ready for future pandemics. And specifically, they mentioned things like substance use disorder treatment, mental health, but also generally health disparities in public health prevention. So I'm wondering, could some of this funding be used, for instance, for a universal primary care pilot? Because we know that lack of access to primary care, which includes, by the way, you know, outpatient mental health and substance use disorder, is one of the reasons for the disparities we've seen. And we also know that if universal primary care was enacted, that would greatly strengthen our resources in general and certainly for any future pandemic.
That's a great question, Ellen. Senator Ballant, what are your thoughts about that?
So I do know that we're still getting some guidance from the federal government around this. We do know that we need to be spending more money related to, as Ellen just mentioned, around healthcare generally, but also around mental health care and substance use disorders. We have a rising number of people dying within the opioid crisis nationally, and the trend in Vermont is also quite alarming. Whether the answer is universal primary care is an open question. I cannot tell you how critical it is
for my constituents in Windham County to be having a more substantive discussion on healthcare generally and on cost specifically. And so I was very keen to get some language in the budget that was directing the Senate Health and Welfare Committee to partner with members of the House and get out this summer and talk to Vermonters about what does the future of healthcare need to look like, because it is, it's unaffordable. We know this. And so whether it is in the case of what Ellen mentioned, universal primary care, or whether it is some other avenue by which we feel like we are moving closer to making sure everyone is fully covered, that remains to be seen. I don't have the answer right now, but I do know that we have an opportunity this summer to hear from Vermonters if it does make it through the budgetary process.
And I'll just add on here, if I can. I think it is really important to get a good sense of what the federal guidance is. This session, we have been doing some work to really look and tackle at putting investments into mental health and substance abuse, looking at increasing rates for mental health. And also, we yesterday, just on the House floor, passed JRH6, which is a resolution declaring racism as a public health emergency, really identifying that we need to look at the impacts that people of color have when it comes to our healthcare systems. We also passed House Bill 210, which addresses disparities and promoting equity in the healthcare system. So some of the things you mentioned, Ellen, we are starting to do work. We have so much more to do, but it is a priority for us to be looking at all of these different aspects in terms of healthcare access and reform.
Speaker Krawinski, I wanted to follow up a question with you when you were discussing pension solutions, and you mentioned that the bill in the legislature makes a down payment of $150 million to help ease some of that liability. How are you going to convince the governor that's a good idea? He's already said, that is way too much money. You can have that much money when you have a definite solution in place, but he's not going to support spending that kind of money before a definite plan is on the table. So how do you convince him otherwise?
Well, look, the unfunded pension liability is a huge problem, and we were able, with these federal funds, to put aside this incredible investment of $150 million. We owe it to our state employees and our teachers and our troopers to show that we are serious and we are at the table and we want to find a path together to ensure that when it's time for them to retire, they have peace of mind, and they don't have that right now. So I would strongly urge the governor to stick with us to join us in finding a solution to this problem. And having that $150 million of investment in the table is a big part of that.
Let's get a quick call in from Jonathan in Marlboro. Hi, Jonathan. Welcome to the program.
Hi. My question is something which Becca and I have been talking about.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi. I'm calling about H-157, which is a bill that will make it possible for building contractors and other tradespeople to register with the state. And it's no secret that our intent is to eventually have a certification process for contractors, notably about concerning energy efficiency, because with all the money that's going to be coming in for training.
Jonathan, we're almost out of time. Do you have a quick question you'd like to ask?
Yeah, the quick question is, Becca, what's the state of it, and where do we go from here?
Okay, Jonathan, great news. Jonathan's a builder in Marlboro. We did vote out 157 from the Senate Economic Development Committee this morning. It will be on the floor of the Senate soon, and we anticipate finally getting this over the finish line. It is important to me to have this contractor registration. We have been dealing with
Unfortunately, some actors within the contracting world who have committed fraud against Vermonters, and we're really trying to make even the playing field for folks like you that do quality work. So thanks for the call, Jonathan.
Senator Ballin, just to follow up on that, would that be a voluntary registration system?
It is the registration system would be required for contracts over a certain amount of money. And so the details will be worked out in conference committee because we landed a little bit differently from the House. And so we're really just trying to make it clear that if you're building, you need to be able to stand by your work.
Well, as we've heard, a lot of important issues still being considered at the legislature in the coming days. Many thanks to our guest today, House Speaker Jill Krowinski and Senate President Pro Tem Becca Ballin. Thank you both very much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.